Change the words, make me blind. Chapter 13. Is she all right? Kaylin gritted her teeth, biting down the urge to explode. It wasn't Richard's fault, she reminded herself. He hadn't caused this, and he was only asking the question because he was worried. Driving one of her daggers through him would not help Kara. I don't know, she said, keeping her jaw clenched. She'd fallen to her knees the instant the noise had started, and had waited for it to subside like all of Kara's spell-induced coughing fits had so far. Even the worrying round of dry heaving, the closest she'd come thus far to actual choking, had worn off relatively quickly with no sign of any real damage having been caused. Even the screams, those haunting, soul-shattering screams that had seemed to go on forever, each one more painful than the last, had passed eventually. But this wasn't passing, and it was getting worse. Is this normal? Kaylin bit down on her tongue, hard enough that she could taste the bitter tang of blood, and used the hot metallic taste to focus herself. I don't know, Richard. He was just worried, she reminded herself again, that was all. He was worried about Kara, and was expressing his concerns in the only way he knew how, by asking pointless and unhelpful questions. It wasn't his fault that she didn't know what to do, and it wasn't his fault that, for every wasted second Kaylin flailed for a way to aid the ailing Maud Sith, the volume of her gagging splutters increased until it really did sound as though they would end up killing her. It wasn't his fault that Kaylin didn't know what was going on, and it wasn't his fault that she didn't know what to do, as much as she wished it was, so that she might have someone to blame for this. It wasn't Richard's fault. "Should I get Zed?" he asked, voice shaking. "No!" Kaylin shouted, then forced herself to calm down. "I don't know. Just let me... I need to figure out what's wrong, that's all. I just need to think. I just need to... Spirits, Richard, let me think!" Gently she rolled Kara onto her side. For about half a second, the movement seemed to aggravate the choking, and Kaylin's breath caught as Kara's eyes rolled back and her jaw clenched and unclenched with almost force enough to break. "Kaylin, she can't breathe," Richard said quietly. "I know that," Kaylin snarled, willing herself not to dismember the Seeker. Struggling to think clearly, to drown out Richard's babbling and the terror that was rising up in her chest, she did the only thing she could think of. She summoned all the strength she could muster at that moment, which, paralyzed by fear as she was, wasn't very much, drew back her fist and pounded on Kara's back as hard as she could. The first attempt yielded little result, an outcome that was as unsurprising as it was disappointing, and so she tried a second time, and then a third. She kept going, again, harder, more, until at long last the wet choking noises shifted and changed into something that sounded, at least to Kaylin's admittedly untrained ears, a little less like death. Still, though Kara's breathing didn't seem to be any easier, nor did the choking stop, and Kaylin fought herself to keep from panicking. "I'm here," she said helplessly, pulling back for another dizzying slap, even as Kara's body shook from the dual effects of the blows and her own violent gagging. "Kara, I'm here. Breathe for me. Damn it, Kara, stop this and breathe!" "Kaylin," Richard said, surprisingly urgent. "Not now, Richard," she hissed, in no mood for his unhelpful questions and flailing attempts at offering worthless advice. "Kaylin," he repeated, "she's not choking." Surprised to the point that she momentarily forgot the bone-chilling fear that ran through her veins like a second bloodstream, she turned to stare at him. He was deathly pale, eyes locked irremovably on Kara's spasm-choked body, and there was a look of such nauseated horror on his face that Kaylin found herself feeling almost as worried about him as she was about Kara. "Then what?" she demanded. He failed to answer immediately, flailing for a moment or two too long, and, though she knew he was just struggling to put his realization into words, she lost what fraction of patience remained. "Richard!" "She's vomiting," he managed, and his hands were shaking as hard as Kaylin's own. "Or trying to. In the spell, maybe. I don't..." "No," Kaylin insisted, punctuating the word with another forceful slap to Kara's back. She did that once before in the spell, after she... when she was young. It was nothing. Just a bit of dry heaving, that's all. Didn't even last a couple of minutes. She was fine, Richard. She was fine. She felt herself losing control. The panic surging up to devour her again. And she clung to Kara as if she could make her better simply by willing it to be so. She's not fine now. She's not... she... Kaelin, Richard said with a calmness that she knew he wasn't truly feeling, and a sense of resigned certainty that she knew he was. She's trying to vomit. You need to help her. I can't, Kaelin managed, horrified beyond her capacity to express it. Her eyes, torn between the man who seemed so certain of what he was saying, and the woman who was living it, jerked back and forth between the two as if they'd been shaken loose from her head. I can't, Richard. By the Creator, I can't. The growl that escaped Richard's lips was almost as primal as anything Kaelin had heard from Kara. She knew it was simply the heat of the moment, the necessity of what had to be done, but that did little to stop her being startled. Almost frightened by it. Then get out of the way, he instructed her, voice weak but determined, and let me. Kaelin didn't move, and Richard didn't wait. He leapt off the bed, shoving her unceremoniously out of the way so he could take Kara into his own arms. Dazed, Kaelin hit the floor, breathless with the force of the impact, and watched through her fingers as he brought a still trembling hand up to Kara's gaping mouth. She couldn't watch. But she couldn't look away either as Richard did what needed to be done in spite of her. All force and necessary sharpness. And the sound that cut through the air as Kara surrendered, violent, brutal, explosive, all Mord Sith even now, was almost louder than anything she'd ever heard in her life. Watching from a dissociated distance, Kaelin had never felt so pathetic. Kara had always prided herself on her self-control. Occasionally, she allowed her temper or her carnal urges to overpower her restraint, in particular after a long fight, but even then, the lack of control was in itself control. The blows she delivered on whatever hapless underlings happened to be in the way when she lost her temper, the way she would command whoever was in reach to pleasure her simply because she wanted it, even the way she allowed the flaming heat of either, and more often than not both, to burn in her. She controlled all of those things, even if she could not control the impulses themselves. When she could not control her spirit, at the very least, she could always control her body. She could not control what was happening now. Mord Sith were strong. Illnesses, though uncommon, were not unheard of, but when they did take it upon themselves to strike, they were always overcome, always, and without fail. Kara herself had been unwell once or twice, but not since she was a child had she allowed it to interfere with her duties. Dahlia, she knew, had been ill on several occasions, but even she had fought through whatever discomfort it shaped itself as, and carried on as though there was nothing wrong at all. Kara had never before seen an illness that was crippling enough to take down a full-fledged Mord Sith at all, much less one capable of rendering them without even the least control over their bodies. Whatever this was, she could tell it was no common ailment. She had intended to ride it out alone, to suffer as silently as possible and then return to her routine before anyone knew. If the last few minutes' suffrage were anything to judge by, however, her traitorous body had other plans for her. Mord Sith did not surrender to their body's demands, and Kara had hoped to keep her lapse into unforgivable weakness a secret for the rest of her days. But, as with everything else in her life on that cursed morning, even that faint hope was outside her control. Kara? Groaning, Kara closed her eyes. The last thing she needed just then, reduced as she was Dahlia fussing over her. Leave me alone. It didn't surprise her in the least that Dahlia refused to obey, and another violent spasm lurched through her as she felt the familiar warmth of the other woman's body pressing against her back. Soft words were murmured in her ear, questions or offers of comfort, Kara didn't know and didn't care, and strong leather-shrouded hands rested on her back with surprising gentleness. A low growl escaped Kara's throat at the contact, and that was all the laps her body needed to rebel once more. Almost before she realized what was happening, she found herself forced to brace once more against the wall and watch from a dissociated distance as the contents of her stomach made another humiliating reappearance. "Kara," Dahlia managed, unable to keep the concern from touching her voice, even as she allowed her hands to caress soothing circles across the spasm-choked muscles of Kara's back. "Kara, what is this?" Willing her away, Kara tightened her fists and pounded the unyielding wall in rhythm with the unending scream of her throat and her stomach and every hated inch of her. "Leave me alone," she repeated, as soon as the barrage stopped, speaking through teeth so tightly clenched that it actually hurt. Already, her guts were churning again, and she knew another resurgence was not too far off. "Go away, Dahlia. That's an order." "You don't get to give me orders," Dahlia told her, punctuating the statement with a mirthless chuckle. "I am beyond your authority." Kara groaned again, too drained to fight her and hating that she couldn't even summon strength enough to muster a half-hearted protest. "Then it is a request," she sighed. "I don't want you to see me like this." Dahlia leaned in, and suddenly it was her chest as well as her hands moving in delirious rhythm against her back. The contact, so much more than compassion, settled Kara's stomach for a heartbeat or two. "Kara," Dahlia said, affectionate and authoritative at the same time, and Kara leaned back against the push of warm breasts against her shoulders. "I have seen all of you. I have seen parts of you that even the Lord Jarl never will. I have known you all my life, and all of yours as well. You have taken me, and been taken by me, with and without my consent. You have struck me down to vent your mindless temper, and you have used me to reinforce your own sense of self-worth. You have done unspeakable things to me, Kara, and I have survived them all. This is nothing." With more effort than she would ever admit to anyone, even Dahlia, Kara turned to face her. Almost instantly she found herself doubling over again, retching violently. Her legs went out from under her, and she silently cursed how much unwanted comfort she was suddenly forced to draw from the familiar sensation of Dahlia's arms around her, supporting her, keeping her from falling. Gently, and yet with enough strength that Kara could feel it was driven by something more than foolish sentiment, Dahlia helped her to her knees. She held her through the worst of it, tight and yielding and everything in between, as Kara vomited yet again, and then a third time. For her part, even if she could have given voice to the words, Kara didn't even think to ask how Dahlia knew precisely how to ease the ceaseless rolling of her stomach, without the least effort. All she could do, all she wanted to do, and she hated herself all the more for wanting it, was embrace the helpless relief she felt as Dahlia's entire being surrounded her from all sides, keeping her close and conscious as she rode out the near-endless tumult. "I have never seen you like this before," Dahlia murmured when Kara was finally done. Kara rested her sweat-drenched brow against the cool leather of Dahlia's shoulder. "I have never felt like this before." Slowly, and with obvious reluctance, Dahlia pulled back. It wasn't much, just far enough to study the lines of nauseous fatigue that painted Kara's features. But it was enough for Kara to unwittingly mourn the loss of contact. "You look well." "Now is not the time for your pitiful attempts at humour," Kara grumbled, wishing she had enough left in her to glare. "I am not amused, Dahlia." "I'm serious," Dahlia said, and suddenly she was frowning. Taking great care not to further upset her fragile stomach, Kara straightened up. Now that her body had seemingly finished its efforts to turn itself inside out, at least for the time being, she couldn't help acknowledging some grain of truth to Dahlia's observation. For all the brutality of what she had just experienced, she felt worlds better now that it had passed, still exhausted beyond her ability to explain it, and still with that ever-present churning deep within her belly, threatening to overturn again at any moment, but not unwell, at least not exactly. Dahlia was still studying her, still frowning, and the perplexity on her face caused Kara's patience to break. "What?" "Nothing," Dahlia said, suddenly uncharacteristically subdued. Whatever it is, I'm sure it will pass. You'll be fine in no time. And you, Kara affirmed, feeling her strength return, will tell nobody of this. This incident did not happen. Dahlia looked uncomfortable. As you wish. How is she? Richard smiled. Though Kaelan could tell it was just for her benefit and bore no resemblance whatsoever to his true feelings. Apparently his diagnosis had been accurate, if unpleasant, and Kara had calmed down considerably after the Seeker's graphically successful efforts to help her empty her guts. Kaelan, for her part, was far more occupied than she'd care to admit by the struggle to keep herself from following Kara's example. She is all right, Richard told her gently, even as he labored with characteristic diligence at cleaning up the mess he'd helped Kara to make. She's settled down now. I told you, she just needed to... He trailed off, coughing uncomfortably, and redoubled his efforts on the floor. Kaelan sighed, feeling wretched. I'm sorry, Richard. You don't need to apologize, he said, cutting her off with a dismissive wave that, though she knew it was supposed to comfort her, ultimately, it just made her feel even worse. He was so Richard, so accepting of others' shortcomings without question. Why couldn't he be as furious with her as she was with herself? Why couldn't he understand that she needed to be at fault for this? Yes, I do, she told him, hoping he'd see the truth of it and cast aside his forgiving nature for once in his life. I'm the one who's supposed to be taking care of her. I'm the one who's supposed to know what to do when things like this happen. I'm the one said specifically asked to keep watch over her because things like this would happen. She closed her eyes, unable to face either of them. I was supposed to stop her hurting herself. Instead, I panicked. When it all came down, I didn't know what to do and you... Kaelan, Richard started, but she didn't let him get any further. If you hadn't been here, she informed him, eyes snapping open to glare at him, she might have died. She could have died, Richard, all because I panicked. Richard mirrored her sigh, but didn't say anything until he was finished with his task. When it was done, he moved back to where Kara still lay, pale and clammy in the wake of what had happened, and carefully eased her up into a sitting position. When it became apparent that she had no intention of protesting the shift or of starting to vomit again, he propped her up against the nearest wall. She's fine, Kaelan, he said softly, lingering to push the sweat-soaked hair out of Kara's eyes with a depth of affection that squeezed at Kaelan's heart. She's fine. And if you hadn't been here, she demanded, taking some small amount of satisfaction in the fact that he couldn't answer. When Richard finally deemed Kara recovered enough to be left alone, at least for the time being, and took it upon himself to cross over to Kaelan's side, she didn't even bother trying to hide the way she flinched away from his approach. He acknowledged it with a shrug, seeming to have expected it, and settled instead for sitting on the bed beside her, quiet and unobtrusive. "You're not helpless," he said to her, every bit as compassionately as he would have if she'd welcomed him with open arms. "You're distracted. Whatever you say about all this, however much you insist you don't recognize her, you still care for her." "That's not an excuse," Kaelan snapped irritably. "No, it's not," he agreed. "It's an explanation. You care about her, seeing her suffer like that, knowing that you've got to be the one who makes her suffer like that, even when it's her own body that's begging you for it. No one can blame you for not being able to do that, Kaelan. She's your friend. It's only natural that you'd have trouble forcing her to..." He broke off, visibly wincing. "Doing that to her." Kaelan exhaled, letting her gaze drift to where Kara sat. She longed to go to her, to wrap her up in an embrace and tell her again and again just how sorry she was. How she hadn't meant any of the things she'd said. How she'd never intended to panic. How she would have given anything to have known what to do without Richard's intervention. She longed to say so much more. To forget her qualms, her doubts, to forget everything. But she was afraid to go near her. Even now, with the danger past, she was afraid. "I do care about her," she heard herself murmur, echoing Richard's quiet remark. "She's become so precious to me, Richard. so much, and I don't know how to... I know, I smiled, and so does she. Where she sat, Kara shifted, expression flickering before finally settling on a moody frown. You're too sentimental. Richard grinned, as Kaelin had known he would. I think I like her like this, he said teasingly, and Kaelin rolled her eyes at him. It felt more wonderful than she'd ever admit to him. She's so much more agreeable. It's not sentiment, Kara. Kara folded her arms. She was in no mood to deal with this now. What else would you call it? She demanded, voice rich with disdain. You come to me, sporting bruises, claiming you earned them fighting for my honour, and expect me to prostrate myself in gratitude. It had to be done, Dahlia replied simply, though Kara could see that cursed softness in her eyes again. Dahlia could be ferocious when she wanted to be, but never when she looked at Kara. It was pathetically weak, bordering on humiliatingly so, and yet, despite the vociferous protestations of her rational mind, Kara could never quite bring herself to mind. Denna needs to learn to shut up, Dahlia went on. Denna does not concern me, Kara shrugged. Let her say what she wants. It will not change anything, and it will not make the Lord Jarl desire her. Dahlia sighed, tangibly frustrated. Kara could see that there was something far deeper here than yet another deliberate slight from Denna, but she couldn't figure out what it was. It took very little to rattle Dahlia, but she was becoming more easily affected than usual, and Kara was at a loss to understand why. Had Denna, of all people, truly got so far under her skin? This is serious, Dahlia told her, and you, Kara, must learn to see it that way as well. Denna wields power, and if her malicious rumours spread... She trailed off, and Kara rolled her eyes. Kara, it's very important that you protect yourself. From what? Kara laughed. Denna? Her words mean nothing. Everybody knows she's just bitter and spiteful. She is jealous, Dahlia, nothing more, and there is not a soul in the temple who does not know that. Dahlia wrung her hands, looking more annoyed than Kara had seen her in a very long time. For a moment, she considered asking what was truly bothering her, because it could not possibly be something so simple as another moment in a never-ending stream of malice from Mistress Denna. But she knew that making such a request was beneath her station, and so decided to demand it instead. What, Dahlia? Why are you suddenly so concerned? Why are you suddenly so affected by Denna? Denna, of all people! You yourself claim to have bested her many times, and it is hardly as if she's never attempted this before. What is this really about, Dahlia? Kara, Dahlia exhaled, looking conflicted and deeply troubled. For a long time she said nothing, seeming to wage some kind of war deep within herself, and Kara was just about to take her by the throat and order her to speak her mind, or find herself deprived of the ability to do so at all, when she seemed at long last to find her voice. The words, however, Kara found far from enlightening. How are you feeling? Dahlia asked, and the change of subject caught Kara so much by surprise that she almost forgot her prior anger. Your illness. How have you been feeling? That's no concern of yours, Kara said, realizing a moment too late that she had blurted the insistence out far too quickly to be convincing. She didn't want Dahlia to know that she had taken to spending in excess of an hour every morning, without fail, much to her humiliation, in the grip of the same irrepressible sickness that had overpowered her so completely some days earlier. She did not want Dahlia to worry, to fear for her health, to feel as though she needed to cover over her absences on those mornings where she simply could not stop the maelstrom in time to attend to her duties. She would be fine, she knew that much. She just needed a few more days to regain control, and that was all. And Dahlia did not need to know. Oh, Kara, Dahlia sighed, as if reading her thoughts. Why must you be such a fool? Watch your tongue, Kara told her, dark and dangerous, or I shall have it cut out. Dahlia twitched. If my tongue had been enough for you in the first place, she remarked acidly. You would not be in this situation now. There was nothing in the world that could have kept Kara from lunging at Dahlia's throat then, and she did so with all the frustrated futility that had been building up from the very first moment that her body had betrayed her. She could not control the nausea, the sickness that tore through her on a daily, almost hourly basis, could not keep herself from falling to her knees time and time again in helpless submission to her stomach's rebellion, could not do anything about the weakness it brought out in her, or the way it brought her inexplicably close to tears. But she could tear an answer from Dahlia's lips. "Explain yourself," she snarled, gloved fingers tightening over Dahlia's throat. "Now, or I will ensure you are never able to explain anything to anyone for the rest of your worthless life. Talk, Dahlia." Dahlia coughed, but held herself rigid. She met Kara's eyes, defiance mingling with something suspiciously similar to pity, and the sight of it only caused Kara to further tighten the vice-like grip she had on the other woman's windpipe. "You're such an idiot," Dahlia murmured, and the softness in her voice had nothing to do with the way Kara was cutting off her air passage. "Dahlia," Kara warned, then growled when Dahlia raised a hand to hold her fast by the wrist. "Do not toy with me." "I'm not," Dahlia said. Her hand where she'd placed it, tugged at Kara's with infuriating gentleness, until Kara acquiesced, almost against her own will, just like every other reaction Dahlia evoked in her, to fall back down to her side. Kara acknowledged the shift in power with a glare, a silent demand that the other woman continue speaking if she valued her life. "I'm not toying with you," Dahlia repeated throatily. "But if you're too much of a fool to know the first thing about your own body, I can't help you." "You are stepping on dangerous ground, Dahlia," Kara snarled, balling her fists with the white-knuckle intensity where they'd fallen to her sides, even by your standards. "I am doing what I must," Dahlia replied, and Kara's eyes were drawn again to the bruises and the traces of blood that colored the side of her face. "Since you refuse to see what's under your nose," she went on, ignoring the unabashed way Kara was staring. "I am left to pick up the pieces of your self-imposed folly." Having made her point, she turned on her heel and departed, leaving Kara alone in the too cold corridor, to shout after her, because she would never allow anyone, least of all Dahlia, to get the last word. "You have taken leave of your senses." "Probably," Richard affirmed, not missing a beat, and Kaelin gritted her teeth to keep from tossing one of her daggers at him. She knew him well enough to know that the levity was a tool, something he was using in a desperate bid at getting her to forget her own inadequacies and return to the task at hand. He had her best interests at heart, and Kara's as well, and she knew that, but it didn't stop her feeling angry at the way he dismissed the seriousness of what Kara was going through, or the chaos that she herself had caused. She wanted him to be ruthless, to be hard on her, to be vindictive. She wanted him to be the Lord Jarl that Kara had always said he needed to be, because the last thing Kaelin needed from him right now was forgiveness. "Richard," she said, venting her temper. "Kaelin," he returned, hearing all of those words without her having to utter a single one. He placed a steadying hand on her shoulder, tilting his head towards where Kara sat, still looking sickly, but for the most part back to normal, right where he'd left her. "Look at her," Richard implored. "She's all right. It's over. She's just fine now." "And if you leave?" she asked, hating that she sounded like a lost child, "and it happens again." "Then you'll know how to handle it," he said simply, and she let her head fall back to slam in voiceless frustration against the wall. "Kaelin, this is as much for you as it is for her." She quirked an eyebrow at that, unable to keep the surprise from touching her features despite her best efforts to hide it. She knew, of course, that Richard had a peculiar tendency to see things others didn't, that it was part of his nature as seeker to see the truth in matters that others would pass over without a second thought. But knowing the fact didn't make it any less unnerving on those occasions when he displayed a rare moment of insight. And, she had to admit, all the more so when she herself was involved. "What do you mean?" she demanded, a little guarded and a lot cautious. He shrugged, that distinctly Richard shrug, that told her what he was seeing was so blindingly obvious to him, that he couldn't fathom the possibility that everyone within 100 leagues might not be seeing it too. Silence fell between them for some time, and she knew he was trying very hard to put his thoughts into words. It was difficult for him, she knew, but that didn't ease her impatience any. As much as she would have liked to choke an answer out of him, as well as she knew it wouldn't have helped either of them, she didn't interrupt his musings, instead sitting quietly with her eyes on Kara. Kara, in turn, did little more than keep breathing, but that was enough for Kaelin after the scare she'd just had. In almost no time at all, she found herself hypnotized by the rhythmic rise and fall of the Mordset's chest. "She's doing this for you," Richard said, at long last. "I know that," Kaelin replied, annoyed. "She told me." "Kaelin," he said patiently, "it's not about the spell." "It's about her memories," Kaelin snapped. "I know all this, Richard. She wants to remember the things that the other Kara knew. She wants to know how it felt to have a friend who was broken with her, to have someone she was intimate with on the level that this Kara was intimate with Dahlia. She wants to express herself, and she thinks this other Kara was better at it than she was. She wants to understand, Richard. She's trying to under..." "No," Richard said, cutting her off. The word was a statement of fact, no more and no less. "She's giving herself to you." It was the last thing she'd expected to hear, and the impact of it struck her like a blow. For some time, Kaelin could only stare slack-jawed at Richard, as if he'd just accused her of growing an extra head, or accused Kara of holding a secret flame for one of Zed's oft-lamented chickens. The idea of Kara giving herself to anyone, in any manner other than in body, and Kaelin blushed at the memory of what had happened when she'd been forced to witness that particular act, was utterly ludicrous. What was he thinking? "She's not just sharing her feelings with you," Richard went on, eyes warm as he watched her. "She's sharing her life. A life she doesn't remember, a life she never even lived, a life that was taken away from her. Whatever she's trying to find in that other Kara's life, whatever she thinks this Dahlia might have given her, she doesn't just want it for herself. She wants you right there with her. She wants you to see it too. How do you..." "I don't know," he said sharply, as though the knowledge were a burden that was far beyond what she could see of it. "I just do." "But why?" Kaelin asked. "Why would she..." "Because she cares," he replied, like it was the most obvious thing in all the world. "Because she can't say it herself, and it's killing her. Because she's Kara, and nothing she ever does makes sense." Kaelin couldn't suppress a genuine laugh despite her best efforts, and it felt good. "Maybe she's right," she said, a little more sadly than she intended. "Maybe we really have taken leave of our senses." "I think we have," Richard agreed, too brightly. On the floor, Kara's head snapped forcefully back, rocked by what Kaelin had come to recognize by now as a blow. "Kara?" Kaelin was already on her knees beside the twitching Mord Sith, the reflexive need to protect Kara overwhelming even the lingering tremors of fear left over from the previous incident. Not thinking about that, not thinking about anything, she took Kara's face in her hands, drawing those sightless white eyes toward her own. "Kara," she repeated, and suddenly there was nobody but the two of them in all the world. "Kara, it's all right." A low groan escaped Kara, but she remained silent other than that. Kaelin gripped her more tightly, ghosting a kiss across her damp forehead, murmuring endearments and promises and offers of comfort. She knew that there was nothing she could do, just as well as she knew the brutal details of what was going on. She knew that her futile reassurances would do nothing to ease the inspell Kara's suffrage, but she couldn't stop herself trying anyway. "It's okay," she soothed. "You've had worse." "I've had worse," Kara mumbled obediently. That's right, Kaelin told her, laughing through the tears that pricked behind her eyes and threatened to spill. That's right. You can't touch me, Kara babbled, smirking. Kaelin smiled proudly, allowing herself to believe, though she knew it to be a lie, that it was the effect of her words bolstering Kara's strength. It was less painful than the reality, what she knew to be true. That Kara was just that self-assured and just that ruthless. Still, she held her, and still she clung to the belief that she was helping, because it was all she had left. That's right, she whispered, lips feverish, as they retraced the path across Kara's brow. They can't touch you, you're Kara. It would be some minutes before she realized that Richard had taken that moment as an opportunity to slip unnoticed from the room. You can't touch me. Denna smiled. It was a smile laced with ice and fire, a cruel and bitter smile that had become widely recognized as distinctly Denna. You can't imagine what I can do. It was Kara's own fault, the situation she was in now. She'd known, as had the entire temple, that Denna was displeased, more so even than she usually was, and she knew better than anyone else why that was. However badly bruise-kissed Dahlia was, Denna was a thousand times more so. Looking at her now, every inch of her porcelain skin mottled and clashing, Kara finally began to believe Dahlia's insistences that she was able to best Denna in combat. Denna was beaten and battered, flagellated and furious, humiliated by a subordinate for the sake of Kara's honour, and they both knew that Denna hardly needed another reason to hate Kara. It had only been a matter of time before she took her ire to its source, and Kara, arrogant as she was, had walked headfirst into it. Nobody is afraid of you, she said, ignoring the ripples of unease that boiled up within her, least of all me. Everyone knows you're nothing but talk, all mouth and no action. If that were the case, Denna said bitingly, lips curving dangerously at the edges, I would be in your position now. And you would be happier for it, Kara shot back. Denna lashed out again, catching the side of Kara's face with an effortless strike. Kara didn't flinch, but the weight of the blow caused her stomach to lurch precariously. Not now, she willed it, commanded it, pleaded with it. You may betray me every day for the rest of my life, but I will not let you betray me now. What's the matter, Kara? Denna mocked, cocking her hips. It was obvious from the smug grin that touched her face that she'd caught the flicker of nauseous discomfort, however well Kara had tried to hide it. Have you really grown so soft in the Lord Ral's bed? Have you, Kara retorted, really grown so weakened by your jealousy that you can't even deliver a respectable blow? It was a pathetic effort, and Denna knew it as well as Kara did. The other woman's eyes sharpened distinctly as Kara tried a little too hard to be subtle in catching her breath, tasting the too familiar acid as it rose up in the back of her throat. Not now. They held each other's gaze for just a heartbeat, Denna cold and calculating, and Kara fighting with almost more strength than she had to keep from pitching forward right then and there. And then, because she was nothing if not a quick study in the school of her opponent's weaknesses, Denna lashed out a second time, cat-like in grace and snake-like in precision, punching Kara square in the gut with staggering force. That was one thing that could be said for Denna, Kara thought as she doubled over. She always knew exactly where to strike. It was, she knew, one of the main reasons why Darken Rahl kept her so close to his side. Denna's prowess in reading her enemies was second to none, and it angered Kara far more than it should have done, to find herself on the receiving end of it, even as she swiftly found her attention occupied by far more pressing matters. Honestly, Kara, Denna purred, and Kara could hear the satisfaction in her voice even over the sound of her own violent retching. Denna was laughing at her, and it fueled her anger. What would the Lord Ral think if he saw you now? Kara didn't wait until she'd recovered. Still gagging roughly, she put every ounce of strength she possessed into ignoring the way her stomach was screaming in protest and lunging at Denna. Blinded by anger and pain, sick and heaving, she powered into the other woman with all the focused energy of a lightning bolt. Her fingers were already tightening over her agile, and she brought the rod up in a single fluid motion to slam into whatever part of Denna it could find. The flush of victory as the blow connected was almost enough to wash away the remnants of nausea. To her credit, Denna didn't make a sound as she absorbed the shock of it. She took a single calculated step backwards, always in control even when she was the victim, and forcefully yanked Kara's agile-wielding hand away from her. The smile was gone now, replaced by a steely determination that Kara knew she would find reflected in her own eyes. One way or the other, this confrontation would end with the scream of blood. "You're pathetic," Kara snarled, spitting out the bitter taste still on her tongue. "So blinded by your desire to bed the Lord Jarl that you have forgotten your station." "And you have forgotten yours," Denna retorted. "Just because the Lord Jarl favours your services, it does not mean they are better than mine. And just because he enjoys your tongue, it does not mean that you are permitted to use it against me. I may not decorate his bed, but I am still closer to him than you. And if I advised him to dispose of you, he would do so without hesitation. Know it, Kara." "If that were the case," Kara panted, forcing a tight smirk even as she found herself fighting her own body as much as Denna's. "He would have disposed of me weeks ago. You have told him many times, I'm sure, to take his pleasures elsewhere, and still he comes to me, because I am superior to you." Once again, Denna lashed out, and once again Kara was forced to summon all of her strength to keep from recoiling as her head snapped back. She should not have been so easily bested, she knew, and that knowledge sickened her so much more than the churning in her belly. The blow was matched a moment later by the vivid flash of pain that could only have come from an agile against her neck, and Kara fought the urge to cry out, even as the combined effects of pain and the rolling of her stomach coupled to render her without breath. "Perhaps you should demonstrate your skills," Denna rasped, gripping Kara's braid with the hand that wasn't holding the agile and driving her down to her knees, "if they truly are as superior as you claim." "You aren't worthy of what I have to offer," Kara ground out, and Denna responded with a rough tug at her hair. "And you, Kara," she sneered, "are my subordinate. You cannot disobey me, however desperately you may want to. You will do what I say, however it may humiliate you, because I am the right hand of Darkan Jarl, and you are not." "No," Kara agreed carelessly, smiling even from her knees. "I am the reason he has no use for his right hand." This time, when Denna hit her, lashing hard with the agile, even as her other hand tightened over her braid to hold her head in place, it was more than worth it. "You need to learn your place, Kara," Denna said, sheathing her agile. Kara rolled her eyes, even as Denna's freed hand worked its way down to lazily unbuckle her belt. "You believe your so-called skills place you above the hierarchy. I am here to tell you they do not." Her eyes flashed with genuine danger as she loosened her leathers, and she yanked Kara's head forward. "Service me." Despite her precarious position, Kara laughed. Again, Denna struck her, once across the face as a warning, and then again, hard enough that Kara was sure she could hear bone cracking somewhere in her head. Her skull throbbed, and she was still nauseous, but she laughed again, because it was pitiful. Denna was pitiful. Did she truly believe that being serviced by the Lord Jarl's favourite would somehow bring her closer to his bed? That living out her fantasies vicariously through Kara, simply because she had pleasured him first, would somehow make her worthy? Denna was beyond reason, though. Kara could tell by the near-blind wildness of the blows, by the spasmodic way Denna's fist gripped her hair, by the unrestrained rage blazing in her eyes, that she was teetering on the knife edge of control. It was a dangerous place for both of them, but Kara would not submit. If Denna wanted this, she would have to take it by force. And it seemed Mistress Denna was more than happy to do just that. Kara closed her eyes, bracing for the next rain of blows, for the fist in her braid to tear at her as though she were a puppet, and Denna her master. For her mouth to be forced against her will upon the heated flesh, that she could practically feel throbbing through the shifted barrier of leather, because everyone knew that nothing aroused Mistress Denna quite like resistance. For, stop this. Ears ringing, Kara raised her head, trying to turn. Denna held her down, though, pressing her face with feverish roughness to where her leathers had been loosened just enough to expose the overheated flesh beneath, and refused to let her move. Stay out of this, Dahlia, Kara growled. Despite their position, despite what was about to happen, this was not Dahlia's fight. If she was to be taken in this way, used and abused like a toy for Denna's twisted pleasures, all the while her own body fought to destroy her, then, still, the humiliation would be less than that of having to be saved. You have done more than enough, she snarled, wishing she could meet Dahlia's eyes and show her just how much damage her interventions had wreaked. I have not done nearly enough, Dahlia retorted, and though she couldn't see anything beyond the crease where smooth red leather met slick alabaster skin, Kara knew exactly what was about to happen. Step away from her, Denna. Unlike Kara, Denna never had the chance to laugh at the gall of her fellow Maud Sith, in daring to give her orders. In less than a heartbeat, Dahlia had crossed whatever distance had existed between them and punched Denna so hard that Kara suddenly found herself watching with not quite satisfaction as the elegant blonde landed hard on her back some feet away, spitting blood. Get up, Kara, Dahlia said, though Kara noticed that she wasn't looking at her, her eyes blazing with an intensity that Kara had never seen in her before, were fixed irremovably on Denna. If you try to touch her again, Denna, I will kill you with my bare hands. Dahlia, Kara said, as she and Denna righted themselves in perfect unison. This is between Denna and myself. It is no concern of yours, and this is no place for your misplaced sense of chivalry. You are not my protector, and this battle is not yours to fight. Leave us now. Shut up! Dahlia shouted, and Kara blinked in poorly concealed surprise at the defiance in the other woman's voice. If Mistress Denna had any idea what sort of damage she may cause if she continues in this manner, she would not be half so quick to seek out her pleasures in you. Denna was smiling, that fire and ice smile again, and Kara shivered despite herself. What was Dahlia doing? Are you saying I'm outside my authority? Denna asked, lazily caressing the handle of her aegil, as if debating which of the two would make a more satisfying prey. Are you telling me that I'm not within my right to demand service from whichever of my subordinates I choose? Or that it's unjust for me to discipline anyone foolish enough to disobey me, when I've given them an order? Her eyes flashed again, not with danger this time, but with frigid amusement. Would you feel the same way if I had done the same to any of our other sisters? Would you be risking a week over the blood pit for anybody else, Dahlia? Or are you simply so weakened by your foolish emotion that you see nothing here but her? This has nothing to do with emotion, Denna. Oh, Denna chuckled, quirking a perfect eyebrow in bemusement. Then what? Affection? Loyalty? Friendship? The future of Dara, Dahlia replied readily. Kara rolled her eyes, finding herself dangerously close to siding with the acerbic Denna on this. Talk sense, Dahlia, she snapped, or do not speak at all. To her surprise, Dahlia continued to ignore her, eyes boring into Denna, as though they were the only two people in all the world. Though it pained her to admit it, Kara felt almost cheated by the rejection. Hadn't Dahlia come here out of some misguided loyalty to her? Wasn't she here under the delusion that Kara needed her protection? And yet it was Denna who had her attention, purely and completely, as though Kara herself was no more than a vessel, as though she didn't matter at all. It made her furious, and she could no longer figure out which of her two sisters she was more angry with. You may do as you wish to her, Dahlia was saying, clearly choosing her words very carefully. But do not expect the Lord Jarl to be merciful to you if he discovers that your petty, ignorant pride calls you to risk depriving him of his heir. What? Denna asked, turning white. Do as you want, Dahlia went on. But know that what you do to her... Finally she turned to face Kara, and her eyes were alive with unspoken apology. I did not want you to find out this way, she seemed to say. And Kara felt the ground falling out from beneath her, as the reality of what Dahlia was trying to tell them both slammed into her with so much more force than any blow Denna, or anyone else, could ever dream of delivering. You do also to the Lord Jarl's unborn child.